to shimmy the kids through puberty until they get to be adults, just with care, with a lot of care.
The temptation with some videos like this is that, look, the transgenders are the reason for the fall of America. And it's like, what about praying for them to be enlightened? Against this endless onslaught of propaganda, how about...
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
Hey, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm Mary.
Hello, Maximus.
Hi, this is Robert.
This is Cloud of Witnesses.
On our new series, Yes... But
we got a really interesting one today, you guys. You guys ready to jump right in?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I don't even know what it is.
This happens at the end of every civilization's reign. And I think this happened with the Greeks and it happened with the Romans. It's one of the things that Douglas Murray, when I had him on my podcast, was discussing. He said one of the things that happens at the end of civilizations is they become obsessed with gender. It's a thing that happens where men start becoming women, women start becoming men, and it becomes like a big focus, like cross-dressing and all this stuff becomes a big point of focus. And I was like, well, why is that? He goes, it seems to be that they're dissolving all boundaries and all norms and all societal structure. And that's a part of it. It's like gender roles.
So pretty interesting, huh?
Wow. That was a mouthful.
And certainly we see here in the West, in the United States, Southern California and California in general, urban areas across the country. It seems to be an obsession of our culture. It's in our movies. It's in the pop culture songs. It's in the books. What do you guys think? Joe Rogan, right?
I don't know where to begin. Lord of Mercy.
I mean, it seems it would make sense that the ends of civilization would come with the decay of essential norms that would perpetuate that civilization. And the reason for this falling away is at least, I don't want to say that we're like necessarily about to implode tomorrow or anything, but like the loss of an end. Everything, like with the loss of an objective reality that we can point to, or objective common reality that we can point to, say God, people sort of begin to turn inward, because they, you know, it's either you're going from creation to God or you're just merely dwelling in creation, and you kind of get stuck in like, oh, well, what is this thing? What's the end of it? There doesn't seem to be end of it. So I'll make of it whatever I want to. So you'll try to turn, people will try to turn creation into their own image.
This is obviously a symptom of something deeper, right? It's not like this is the cause. If we would just have solid gender roles, and I think this is where sometimes people on the quote far right, the political sphere can get it wrong, in the sense that they just think, look, if we just had solid gender roles, then it would be, then it would be clear, right? Then we'd be good. We'd be strong. Now it would help us, but it's not really, it's not the inside. It's not the core. And that's what I'm wondering. You know, when I was listening to that video, I was like, okay, this is the symptom, but what is that root cause?
Yeah, it's always the issue of just like, if we just merely had the divine ordering without divinity.
Right. Yep, exactly. That's basically the other side of the coin, as it were.
You know, this luxury of a society to reach a point to where its largesse is such that they have the time and the money to do things like get sex changes and augment their bodies and spend all this time and money on clothing and you know, things of this nature.
Lord of Mercy.
Which we know as Christians are also totally superfluous.
Yeah, this is a good... So all I wrote in my little note card is the word suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes well with what you guys are saying. Like, we don't understand... Like, we're not comfortable with suffering. And Orthodoxy, like when you read the lives of the saints, a lot of their lives are about suffering. They suffered for the sake of Christ. And in the society, like societies work. I mean, I'm not neither a sociologist nor a historian. I'm a biologist, so I don't really know much about that side of the world. But I'm guessing societies work to build themselves up to a point where people are comfortable and affluent, like you guys are saying. And then with that... We go farther, further away from suffering, so we have no need to ask for God's help.
But I don't really know where to start on this one. I had a little bit of trouble with studies that do these kind of sweeping overviews of civilizations. And in fact, a lot of recent scholarship is critical of these kind of sweeping generalizations made based on civilizations and things like that. So
there's a famous saying that says politics is downstream from culture,
right?
And then what a lot of us say, and culture is downstream from spirituality, right? So the spirituality of a people or of a person is what informs the culture that they create. And then the culture that they create, you know, lays the political foundation.
I mean, we're created to worship God. So once you take God out of that equation, man loses meaning. So he tries to make meaning out of everything.
So I'm not disagreeing with what Marianne is saying or what Nicholas is saying necessarily, but I am just not so ready to say, okay, well, this is why a civilization ended.
I think that's very well said on both ends. I think we probably all agree that we can't look back on any period, you know, even the Leave It to Beaver, you know, 1950s, whatever it was, the idyllic nuclear family, you know, was highlighted. I think we all, can all agree that, you know, there sin, Satan and the demons have been at work. Let's look at America. You know, certainly we are a society currently obsessed with gender, with the role of gender, even that word, right? The very fact that we're using this word. So I'm curious, I'd like to hear your thoughts, maybe not so much about the demise of the civilization per se.
Oh, hold on, sorry. And I'm not really necessarily promoting the author or anything.
Irreversible damage.
I could not stop reading this book. She makes an argument about, and this is going to be a little controversial, she just makes an argument that the road has been paved for a lot of teens, boys and girls, to be able to, once they feel uncomfortable with their body, which is a normal biological process, go to the doctor or the psychologist. And the doctor or the psychologist tells them that it's okay. What you're feeling is normal, and that's because you're in the wrong body. Like, you have to tell me that my opinion is okay about myself, even though I did not go through 6 or 7 years of medical training, and you have to agree with me or you're a bigot. Kids go through changes. They don't have anybody to go to. They are just struggling with themselves. And now we have the internet. The kids are growing up thinking that this is the thing that I want to do, but then they face resistance, and their resistance increases their strength, right? We know that we build muscle by, you know, going to the gym, building resistance, right? So the more resistance that they see in society, which is like the very, I don't want to say the very conservative side of the pendulum, but maybe that is what it is. I don't know. The very anti any conversations about this side.
The establishment, the establishment maybe.
Right. Yeah. The establishment, without any understanding of their humanity or their feeling. I mean, they are human, right? We are fallen humans also. And you need to kind of understand that to shimmy the people through puberty, to shimmy the kids through puberty until they get to be adults, just with care, with a lot of care and with a lot of compassion and love, without necessarily affirming whatever permanent damage that they want to do to their body, but also without being super resistant to them, because this is when you have the other side, you know, and then people fighting and the kids are suffering, you know.
I'm glad that Jeremy, you actually recentered it and kind of divorced the topic from the whole collapsing empire topic. And I love what you're saying, Marianne, because I wanted to say this too. And really the main thing is love, right? That more than ever, they don't need to be bashed on the head with, this is reality, deal with it, no one cares, work harder, right? Like, what about love? What about compassion? What about understanding? What about praying for them to be enlightened against this endless onslaught of propaganda? How about asking God that this thorn in their spiritual eyesight would be taken out so they can see reality? I don't know the name of this one girl, but, you know, she said that one day, you know, she thought she was a male. She went through all these things. One day it was like St. Paul, these scales, this cloud lifted from her, and she saw who she truly was. How did that happen? I don't know. Must have been the grace of God.
And I want to add and acknowledge, as a scientist, as a biologist, there are biological abnormalities in people's bodies that make them really have really messed up genes or hormones that would make them unclear whether they are a male or a female. I don't know the statistics, so I'm not going to say, oh, these are rare, but they're probably rare. But even if they're not rare, I just want to mention that fallen humanity, through the lens of orthodoxy, or at least how I understand orthodoxy, through the lens of the fall, we have acquired diseases. Why not diseases where the genes of the sex determination are the ones that are hit?
Yeah.
So Christ sat with the prostitutes and the tax collectors of the world. We need to be that for the people. We need to be Christ for everybody.
Amen.
I love it.
Also respect that people have free will, ultimately. So,
which is a painful dichotomy.
Yes.
We've put our focus and we've made an individual's opinion, and we made that this unassailable, unquestionable truth. So whatever your truth is, that's, I cannot question this, that's yours. And, you know, there's absolutely no way for me to question that at all. The problem now, we're trying to put a universal truth in an individual, individual's reality. And you cannot find a universal truth in what a person, what only, you know, in an individual's opinion. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to elevate one's opinion or one's experience and say, that's the only truth that is really what matters and you cannot question it. And I think what we're doing instead is we're only fragmentizing more. We're not finding any universal truth in this.
Well said, yeah. Robert.
I think just to say one thing is that the temptation with some videos like this is that it's like, look, the transgenders are the reason for the fall of America. And it's like, these are people, right? And it goes back to what you're saying. What is that universal truth? Ultimately, is God. And God is love, right? And if we can, going back to what Marianne said, emanate God's love, that is what will really enlighten us all to be on that same plane of communion and understanding with each other.
What it really comes down to is it's a battle of the heart. Or like a conflict between religions, arguing with them or dragging them probably isn't going to help. It's just probably going to make them dig their heels even deeper and create even more division. We can sit here talking all day about like decay of civilizations, but yeah, ultimately, yeah, these are people that we're dealing with. These people who bear the image of God.
Amen.
It can be very easy to forget that.
Yeah,
it's so true. Such a temptation.
I would love for you guys watching to this point. By the way, I want to say thank you for joining us today. Bill Maher, who is not at all conservative, makes this great point. I wish I could find the video. Maybe we'll share it some other time. He's like,
it is not uncommon to hear parents who each have a trans kid having a conversation about that. What are the odds of that happening in Youngstown, Ohio? If this spike in trans children is all natural, why is it regional? Either Ohio is shaming them or California is creating them.
This is a spiritual battle. It's a battle for the heart. And as the Bible says, what proceeds from the mouth, right, comes from the heart. And it's these ideas that are coming from the mouth of our spokesman of the culture. And it's infiltrating the minds of our youth. And it's a shame, and Lord have mercy.
The harvest is ready, but the workers are few.
Yeah, I think this is not a political issue, although, of course, it's hijacked by politics quite often. But I think it is a matter of the heart, and it's a spiritual issue.
Empires aside, to build anything or anyone up, first off, is these icons, right? Is that to remember that is the prototype. He is the prototype, and this is what we should become.
Man.
A lot of this really comes down to, like, can you love your brother and your sister? Mm-hmm. And if you really can't, then you are just as much as, like, these other people that you may have negative sentiments for, you are also perpetuating the decay of society. Politics in that way is sort of parasitic. it almost demands that this sort of like fight to the death happens. We have to, the primary weapon is going to be the cross, and you can't bear that without love.
So. Amen. I love that.
Amen. Amen. I love
Thank you everyone for listening. Right. Thank you everyone for talking.
Yes. Awesome conversation. We really appreciate you. And you listening to the end, we really appreciate you. Please go check out our Patreon. We are at patreon.com/CloudOfWitnessesRadio. This has been Cloud of Witnesses Radio.